It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power session. Now, for those who have been listening over the last few months, you know that we're having a conference on Saturday, July 22nd, 2023. And I am just really super excited because we have some great things that are going to be happening. We're going to be talking about AI. We're going to be talking about how to leverage AI to get more customers, clients, and revenue without paying for expensive ad campaigns. We're going to be talking about search engine optimization and also inclusiveness online and what that means when it comes to being ADA compliant. In addition, I have with me as my guest today, none other than Dr. Boyce Watkins. He is a trailblazing scholar, educator, and entrepreneur dedicated to empowering minds and inspiring positive change with an unwavering commitment to economic empowerment, financial literacy, and social justice. Dr. Watkins has emerged as a leading voice in the African American community. He's done groundbreaking work in academia with his PhD in finance, coupled with his passion for entrepreneurship and financial education. And he is definitely one of the people that I look to when it comes to investments, wealth building, racial equality, and personal growth through his, and he's also a very accomplished author. I can't forget that. I'm reading his book right now, The 10 Commandments of Black Power. It's a very powerful book. Through his dynamic speaking engagements, thought-provoking writings, and transformative online platforms, Dr. Boyce Watkins continues to ignite minds, challenge societal norms, and pave the way for a brighter future. And I want you guys to welcome and tune in to today's episode with Dr. Boyce Watkins. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I'm doing phenomenal. I am so happy that you're here and made the time to be on the podcast. So my first question to you is, how should entrepreneurs think about wealth building?
I think entrepreneurs should, first of all, understand that building wealth as an entrepreneur is very different from building wealth as an employee. Employees have one advantage of having a more consistent stream of income. It's the same amount of money coming in every 2 weeks or every month. That's one advantage. And if you're lucky, you might have the job security, but we know job security is kind of a thing of the past in a lot of industries now. Even in technology, highly educated people can't assume that their job's going to be there. But with that consistency, if you are lucky enough to have a company that consistently pays you over time, then you can do set it and forget it. Your cash flow is pretty consistent and you can have that money going to, say, a 401k over 30, 40 years. And you could walk away a millionaire from that. That happens all the time. David Bach calls it the automatic millionaire. Now, the entrepreneur has a different situation because the entrepreneur, especially in the beginning, is going to have to work harder. They're going to have a lot more responsibility. Their job isn't one that's going to necessarily turn off at 5 o'clock every day. They're going to have to deal with things like delegation, managing technology, et cetera. There's a lot of pressure that comes with entrepreneurship, a lot of risk, a lot of loss. So people think that being a business owner, being an investor means you're always going to have money. That's simply not true. Most entrepreneurs will tell us that. The upside of that, though, the risk-reward trade-off is that an entrepreneur can decide what their salary is going to be. If you pick up the right skill set, learn how to acquire a customer, learn how to serve that customer, learn how to market a little bit better, make the right partnerships, then you can actually there is no ceiling on your pay. There is no like in the NFL and NBA how they have not pay ceilings, but you know what I'm talking about, the salary caps. Yeah, there is no salary cap
No,
for
there
an
isn't.
entrepreneur, which is just the most beautiful thing in the world. So you get good at what you do it well. Next thing you know, you're making a ton of money, and a lot of entrepreneurs can end up making a lot more money. Like, I mean, I'm talking about crazy amounts, like thousands of dollars per hour. By getting good at what they do. So wealth building for the entrepreneur also is going to come in a form of what you might call, some might call invisible wealth, where you're accumulating equity in this company that you're working, that you're building, right? So you may feel like your cash flow low, but you're very wealthy. You could even be a millionaire and not have any cash at all because you're running this business that, you know, that maybe generates six figures, but in, so it's worth over $1 million, but you don't feel like a millionaire. And that is the pro and the con of it all, right? You have to understand wealth to know that that wealth is there. But remember this though, when you have that job and you're pouring into this job, your heart and soul and everything else, none of that equity is yours. Unless you maybe, if you own stock in the company or if you're, you know, part of a startup, but for the most part, that equity is going to somebody else. So, you know, to some extent, an entrepreneur has to view wealth, in my view, in terms of a couple of things. One, you know, realizing that that equity is there. So even if you're not making as much money as you want, that business is yours. That's valuable. You protect that. You know, it's one of your core assets. Second of all, you don't have a salary cap. And then third of all, you have the obligation, expectation to do a little more of your natural income smoothing. So when you are working for a company, your income's naturally smooth. You're getting, you know, $3,000 every 2 weeks or whatever your pay is. You're an entrepreneur. One week you're making 3,000, the next week you make 1,000, the next week you make 5,000, next week you make 2,000. So that income is going up and down, up and down, up and down. So you have to come up with your own process where you say, okay, when times are good, I'm storing nuts for the winter. I'm preparing for when times are bad. And when times are bad, I'm holding on for when times get better. And so that's a shift in mindset. But either way, though, you can still build wealth. And I would argue that if I had a choice between being a great entrepreneur and a great employee and picking who's going to make the most money, the great entrepreneur is going to make a whole lot more money than the great employee, especially if they manage that right.
Wow, that's really powerful. What do you think about, entrepreneurship and taxes?
Well, it helps to have a good accountant, and that can really help you structure properly so that you're spending money in the right way, making your investments in the right way to minimize your tax bill. You have to think about taxes consistently all throughout the year. You can't just sort of take the cash flow and just assume that that's all your money. The IRS is your first and biggest business partner in everything that you do, and so you got to make sure the IRS is taken care of, or that creates another set of headaches that you have to deal with. You have to be able to trust and have some sort of oversight of the people that are managing your accounting and your taxes. And it's really getting worse because the IRS is starting to crack down. They're hiring a lot more agents, and they're going to go after the entrepreneurs first because the entrepreneurs are the ones who tend to end up taking the most liberties on their tax bill. You know, because in America, we do have a country where people that manage their taxes creatively can get away with paying almost nothing. You look at people like Donald Trump, who, you know, pay very little taxes. Warren Buffett's talked about how little taxes he pays. But so the opportunities are there to get ahead wealth-wise by managing the taxes properly. But also there's just a whole lot more responsibility in terms of making sure you handle it. Because the other thing too is that if you have a business and you're doing well and you're making a decent amount of money, if something goes wrong tax-wise, you're going to be in a much deeper hole than you would have been in if you were just a person making low amounts of money. So big money can come with big opportunities, but it can also create ginormous problems. If you remember Steve Harvey, the comedian, talked about how he had this $7-8 million tax bill because he thought he was paying his taxes and it wasn't going to his taxes. But he had to get out of that hole himself. So entrepreneurs would be wise to really think about their accounting, their tax systems, all that stuff. It sucks, but it's important.
So my next question to you is, I've been asking people around, because I went to Chicago and I met you at JJ Conway's Juneteenth Legacy Conference, and I said I met Boyce Watkins, and they're like, Boyce who? I'm like, you don't know who Boyce Watkins is? Like, this man is phenomenal. He's such a thinker, a scholar. Like, I'm always following him on YouTube, Instagram, everywhere. And so my question to you is, what? Introduce yourself to those listeners who don't know you.
Let's see. Well, I've been a black man my whole life now, and I enjoy that, and I care about that. I care about my community. My doctorate's in finance. I taught on the faculty at Syracuse University for 13 years, and I eventually left Syracuse, and I created something called the Black Business School, where our number one goal was to make intelligent black people the most financially literate group of people on the planet. And I say intelligent black people because it's not so much that I don't invite everyone of all walks of life, education levels, everything. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be a you could be a 19-year-old with no GED, or you could be a 4-year-old even and still learn. The reason I say intelligent black people is because I believe that there's a difference between people that want change versus people that are happy with the status quo.
Right.
I don't want to hang around people that want the status quo, because I don't think the status quo is good for our people. On so many different measuring sticks in terms of quality of life and health and wealth and relationships, we just rank at the bottom of the scale. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of black people losing. I want to get to know the Z Scotts who went to MIT, who have great ideas that can benefit our people. I don't want to just hear about, such and such a rapper and how many babies mamas they got and all that stuff, because that all that's, where I'm from Chicago, the dysfunction just seems to ooze out, when you're hearing about all the crazy things happening that are preventable, right? So I tend to reach out and say, okay, who's with me? Who wants to make our community better? Who wants to make our family strong again? Who wants to who believes black men should love black women? Who believes that we should raise our kids to be right? Who believes we should raise our kids to be stronger and more prepared than other people's kids? And I bring those things in, and people get confused. They're like, well, wait, you're a finance guy. Why are you talking about all these other things? Why would you talk about relationships or hip hop or whatever? I said, because it's all connected. It all links back to our economic condition. Our economic condition isn't bad just because we don't have money or we don't have the education. It's culture. Culture is everything here. And In my book, The Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power, that I just wrote, I spent a lot of time writing about economic culture, economic thinking. I did it. I had a conversation today with Asia Kirkendall, who was at the
Oh
at
yes,
JJ
I'm
College.
she's on my calendar for this upcoming week. I'm interviewing her for my podcast too.
And my
She's
homegirl, so
phenomenal.
smart.
Everybody needs to
Yes,
know her. She's
yes,
on a whole
yes,
nother level. That's just
yes.
smart.
Quantum wealth theory, right? And I'm like, no, we need to push. Asia and I, we're both proud nerds. And I think you might have a little nerd in you, right, in a good
No, no, no,
way.
no. I'm 100% a nerd. Like, don't let the cute hair fool you. I'm
See, that's the thing,
a
but see,
nerd.
nerd, right? But see, that's the thing. Nerds can be classy, cool, and cute. And nerds become real cool. Nerds become real cool when they become millionaires and billionaires, right? So, if you look across the road at what majority population is doing, Mark Zuckerberg is a nerd, but he's the coolest nerd in the room because he's got $100 billion. Elon Musk is a nerd, right? So I think that our so-called nerds, the people that get pushed to the back, need to be pushed to the front. I don't, I love the basketball players and the rappers and all that, but I don't want to just hear from basketball players and rappers. I want to hear from the Asia Kirkendalls and the Z Scotts, and figure out, okay, what are the best ideas, and how do we get those ideas to as many people as possible so that we can directly impact the condition of our families, the condition of our children. And my whole belief is that the approach has to be one that attacks a systematic problem by shrinking it down to the molecular level, the nuclear family. What am I doing in my home with my wife? What are we building together? How are we making sure our relationship is solid so we can build wealth together? What are we doing with those kids? How are we teaching them or preparing them for the future? Are we investing for them when they're children? Are we waiting for them to get into the struggle like everybody else? Are we teaching them things as children? Are we waiting for the public school system that ain't gonna teach them nothing about being wealthy? The public school system ain't designed for that, right? So really, that's what my mission is, and that's something that is that I have fun with. I'm very passionate about. So to your point, you're right. There are My world is a little interesting because there are places I go where I can't even walk 10 feet because so many people are, that want to talk and want to take pictures and sign books and tell me what they're doing. And it's unbelievable, right? It's sometimes it's even stressful. But then there's other places I can go. This is what's funny though, Z. There are places I can go where I'll walk in a room full of black people and no one will even notice I'm there. And that tells me that there is a cultural divide there. I went to I think I went to the Tom a Tom Joyner event, And I walked in and I told my wife, I said, that was crazy. I've never, it's been years since I've been in a room full of black people where not one single person stopped me. You know, and really, so this really speaks a lot to the economics of attention and just what are
Right,
we putting,
right.
what are we giving our attention to? And
Yeah.
is it putting us in a better position than we would have been otherwise? So I ain't here to save everybody. I'm just here to mobilize those who say, you know what, we deserve better than that. So that's what, so my audience is very targeted in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's me. I started asking people, and because me watching you online, I assume, because I'm seeing your numbers, I'm assuming everybody knows about you. And then when I started asking people who I know who are high up in like Church of God in Christ, who are for the black community, just different people, and they're like, they don't know who you are. I was like, okay. So we need boys. I need to talk about boys more because you are just a wealth of information and resources. I love your investment plan, the $5 a day. I mean, I've already, like, my son in his portfolio, he has not only cash in his savings, but he has precious metals as well. And
Nice.
starting on it, he's written the audio book. And so I hear all the things that you're saying, and I've been, encouraging my son to develop those assets and to have that asset mentality, like you talked about in your book. So, I guess you guys are going to hear it first on the tech show, the SEO Queen Tech Show. But where are you going to be speaking, Dr. Watkins, on Saturday, July 22nd?
I don't know. I don't know. I think my friend Z Scott has a conference and she invited me to speak. And I'm gonna be speaking there. And what's the name of your conference? Give me the name. I didn't
It's
catch the name
called
of
the
it.
Reach More Clients Power Conference, and it's
Yes.
Saturday, July 22nd, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a hybrid conference, both in person and online. And if you go to seoqueen.com/conference, you can get a 10% discount on
Wow.
the tickets, which are currently at the early bird rate, by putting in the code Dr. Voice,
Yes.
all one word.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. Well, you know what? I love it. And that whole reach more clients thing. Here's what I want people to really understand. And you went to MIT, so you're gonna get it. You think about it, right? You know, what is it that what are one of the some of the what's one of the main things that we try to accomplish in this world, especially as black people? We want to be happy and we want to be free. And we tend to be happier when we're free. You know, and what is freedom? Freedom means doing whatever you want to do. You know, like our ancestors dreamed of freedom. And even on Juneteenth, they didn't actually get freedom. They went from being unpaid labor to being paid labor for the plantation. They didn't, you know, it wasn't the fairy tale everybody believes. It was a time where they literally told the slaves that you're free, but you got to go back to the plantation as an employee. And so, and your master's going to decide how much money you're going to make. And so if you think about even Juneteenth, the reason they weren't really free is because they didn't have one of the key elements of freedom, which is economic security. They didn't have, you know, if I say to my kids, oh, you're free to go live wherever you want, but they ain't got nowhere to live, ain't got no money, ain't got no job, ain't got no skill,
You're
they're
really
going to come right back
not
home. They're really not free, right? Freedom is symbolic at that point. Right, it's just words. So when you think about that and you go back to that point, and this is why your conference is so precious and valuable, is that so freedom for most people, if you think about it, the difference between freedom and corporate slavery and getting up and going to work every day with this job you hate and being around people that don't you don't even like, away from your family and all that, the difference between freedom and slavery for most people is usually about $4,000 or $5,000 a month. You know, I don't know about everybody, but I know based on where my bills were in my 30s when I was trying to become an entrepreneur for the first time, I figured out. I said, okay, yeah, I was making good money. I was making six figures. I was making $115,000 a year at that time. So maybe closer to $8,000 a month after taxes or 7,000, whatever it was. But I figured out, I said, if I can just figure out how to make 4,000 a month, I'm good. It won't be the same lifestyle that I had before, but I'm free. I don't have to go to work and I can just sit at home and, you know, watch Netflix and eat pizza and sleep in and call my mama and live my best life, you know. So I said, all I gotta do is hit $4,000 a month. And if you think about that, if you become an entrepreneur and you get clients and you master the art of getting of acquiring clients, then you can get that money that you need to literally unlock all the things in your life that are exponentially more valuable than just money. With Asia Kirkendall, we talked about that her quantum wealth theory and how having access to money is it's exponentially powerful because it doesn't just give you more money, it gives you access to the things that money can't buy, like your mental health, your physical health, your time with your family, your happiness. You can't put a price tag on that. So your freedom, so I would say to everyone listening, the reason that that whole just that art of getting more clients is so valuable is because that will unlock your freedom. To have a successful business, all you gotta do is have a good product and get somebody to buy some of it from you. And it doesn't have to be everybody. It could be literally 0.1% of your audience. And if you can get them a good enough value proposition where they will give you money for you to solve a problem for them, then you're set, you're good. So given that that's so important, and given that that's kind of one of the keys to that freedom that we all crave and dream about, why isn't that taught to children, at the age of 5 or 6 or 7? Why
Well, it's
not?
taught to my child, and I definitely hear him talking about his friends at school. He just finished third grade, and he tells me all the time. He says, "Mommy, none of the, they want to play. They don't want to talk about business."
Right. So, and your son is how? What's your son's
Nine.
name?
His name
What's
is
his name?
Joshua Scott.
Well, Joshua Scott's gonna be a millionaire because of what his parents are doing for him now. Like he's it's gonna it's people don't understand. It's not that hard to be a millionaire if you get a head start. It's really hard to get a millionaire it, to be a millionaire if you're trained to think like an employee and you're playing catch up at the age of 45. But if you have parents that love you enough to invest in you and train you on the right things, the most important skills necessary to be economically successful, and they're investing for you, like with that $5 a day plan, it's super easy for a child to be a millionaire because they have the gift of time. They have 25 or 30 years for their harvest to grow. A lot of our people get stuck out here economically strapped because nobody, it's like you're trying to pull a harvest, but nobody planted a seed for you. So plant those seeds. Everybody that's watching, I beg them to do that. Because that's gonna not, I mean, you're not just helping your child have money, you're protecting them from all the horrible outcomes that occur because you don't have enough money. Like you were in LA at the BET Awards, and I have a lot of friends in LA because I do stuff out there, and I knew this lady who was a drop dead gorgeous actress, who was super smart, super pretty, highly educated, but she didn't get a lot of opportunities. But she's a very talented actress, very hardworking. And when she was struggling for money, she gets on the internet and she just casually says, she says, "Yeah, I was struggling for money. So I went on a website called, like it was like sugardaddies.com or one of those websites." And she said, "And I, so I met this older guy and he asked me to sleep with him. And he said, if I sleep with him, he'll give me a laptop." And she said, "So I slept with him." And I'm sitting there thinking, "You slept with this man for a laptop?" Really, like I'm like, and I'm sitting there as a father of girls, I'm thinking, where was your daddy at? Your daddy can help you get a laptop.
A
And
laptop.
here's the crazy part is that she wasn't distressed over the fact that she slept with this raggedy, nasty old man to get a laptop. She was upset because she didn't get the laptop. That's what she said, that he slept with her and did not give her the laptop. And so that to me is an example of where sometimes our desperation for money can cause us to give away things that money should not be able to buy. Money shouldn't be able to buy your body. It shouldn't be able to buy your mental health and physical health. But we sell those things all. It shouldn't really, money shouldn't even be able to really buy your time unless it's a very high rate. Like most people, your time should be worth at least $100, $200, $300 an hour. It should not be $25 an hour, because you're going to get old one day and you're going to die. And these are hours of your life that you're selling. That's a massive, massive trade-off. That's completely unfair to you. So a gift we can give our kids is train them on how to make money the right way so they're not trading time for money or trading their body for money or being in some horrible relationship just so they can get a little bit of money. That's just that's worse than that's a fate worse than death sometimes.
And I mean, you're so right because, when I was working on my master's degree in public policy, I read, William Julius Wilson's books on poverty and some other books that I can't recall the names of. But one thing that struck to me is a lot of Black people, especially formerly incarcerated Black men, don't know where to start with entrepreneurship. And that's why I'm so passionate about doing these events because it gives me an opportunity to step in front of the people and share
Yes.
how to win online. Right now there's only about 90% of websites on Google. They don't get search engine traffic. They don't get any traffic at all. And
Interesting.
and so the most popular website in the world is google.com, and Google is set up in such a way where if you create valuable content and optimize the content and code on your website, you can attract that traffic to your site. And there's over 2 trillion searches that are happening. And so I think this is definitely a resource that our community needs to tap into so that they can win online. And it's very important. And I'm really looking forward to your contribution to the conference on Saturday, July 22nd. And how can people connect with the Black Business School and yourself?
Well, if you want to connect with me or anything I'm connected to, you can just go to boycewatkins.com. It's spelled just like Joyce with a B, BoyceWatkins. And there's stuff there. We have programs for kids. We have stock options. We do a lot of stock option stuff. In fact, in a little bit, I'm meeting some students that where we have something called the Passive Recurring Income Machine, which is at drboyceprime.com, which is basically where I show them methods that I use to generate passive recurring income from selling options on my stock. Like, a lot of people don't know that you can sell stock options on certain stocks and earn a far higher ROI than real estate. But the best part about it is you're making money without working. So if people want to actually just see like a free training on it, they can go to boycewatkins.com. There's a training called How to Make Money Without Working. And that's where I kind of explain an intro and they can decide if they want to be a part of what we got going on.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much. And do you have 3 tips for entrepreneurs before we go?
Oh gosh. Okay, let me see if I can
Three
freestyle this off the dome. Three tips. The 3 tips that help as an entrepreneur. One, keep your head up. Learn how to stay focused even when times are not going good. A lot of time as an entrepreneur is spent frustrated and feeling like you're a loser, and and we all go through it. So if you have those moments, don't let that stop you from doing what you got to do. Number two, talk to smarter people, people that have more experience than you do, and just know the answers to your problems are typically out there. And the more time you spend talking to other people, even investing and training from other people, the closer you'll get to your goal. And a lot of people feel like they have to do it all by themselves. They won't sort of sign up for that course or whatever. Think about this. I mean, you spend $100,000 going to college. A lot of us did. And most college professors, I can confirm this as a college professor myself, most college professors don't know much about how to make money or how to be entrepreneurs. We know theories and stuff like that because that's what we get paid for. We get hired at places like MIT for writing research papers. I had friends that taught on the faculty at MIT. None of them knew how to start businesses or make money, but they were very good at the theory, which is important. But theory may not work as well when you're talking about solving day-to-day problems. So talk to smarter people that know what they're doing. Don't be afraid to pay them for their time. In fact, the people that are most successful typically are going to charge you for their time. Just accept that and make that investment. I'd say the third thing I would say is never forget all the other ways you're wealthy in terms of the things that have nothing to do with money. I like being an entrepreneur. The thing that kept me going as an entrepreneur when I wasn't making a lot of money was that I just really enjoyed that lifestyle of freedom. I liked the fact that I could reinvent myself whenever I wanted. The travel and meeting new people and doing new things and all that. Like, that has really created, in my view, what I'd like to say is a wealthy life. And so yeah, the money got good and stuff like that, but the money's not the catalyst. It's just that as a Black person, that access to freedom that a lot of us don't have. And then also the ability to develop that legacy, the ability to work with people that I really enjoy working with. All those things are the other intangibles of entrepreneurship that I encourage everyone to hold on to so that you don't feel like you're poor just because you don't have a lot of cash flow. That's only one measure of how wealthy you are.
Well, thank you. You definitely made me feel a little bit better because sometimes when I'm looking at that bank account balance, I'm like, ooh, it should be higher.
I know, I get
I
it.
want
I
it to be
get it.
higher.
Let me tell you, Z, when they issue those reparations payments, if anybody is crazy enough to ask me what I think, I'm gonna say you need to give access to capital to every Black-owned business out here. That no Black entrepreneur should have to apply for a business loan and not be able to instantly get $250,000 just to fund their operations, you know, because a lot of businesses die from a lack of cash flow. 86% of all Black-owned businesses die within 2 years. And it's not because the ideas aren't good and the businesses aren't profitable. A lot of times it's because they just don't have financing. You know, you see those guys in Silicon Valley, they'll burn cash at a rate of, they'll burn $1 billion a year for 5, 6 years before they actually make a profit. And that's a type of white privilege people don't talk about, is that access to capital. So I would love to see every Black entrepreneur to be able to get $250,000 for their business instantly. And then also every Black person who wants to buy a home should be able to go and finance and get at least $400,000 interest free to go buy a house, maybe $500,000, since houses are more expensive now. Those little things, just that access to capital, would do a lot for Black wealth overnight.
I agree with you. I'm with all of that because, you know, when I think about my ancestors and, you know, both sides of my family come from slavery, Arkansas and Louisiana. As a business owner, my eye has have been so open to all the intellectual property that has been stolen, all the wages, and just seeing what my grandfather did, what my dad is doing. Just imagine if my dad didn't have to start from square one. You know, just imagine where I would be now. And you know, he went to Cal State Dominguez, I went to MIT. Just imagine if all the Z Scotts and Theodore Scotts in the world actually got what they were owed out the gate. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And I think that, you know, when you do work, you should be paid.
Yes, right. I know. Why is it? And why is that so radical? And people act like we're the radical ones. No, you're radical if you don't believe basic ideas like that. So
Yeah,
I agree with you
and it
100%.
doesn't matter that nobody's alive that enslaved the person or was enslaved. What matters is the fact that you're still benefiting off that labor. Point blank, period.
A lot of wealth is inherited wealth. Where's our inheritance? Where's our birthright? So I'm gonna be fighting for that, you know, and I'm not gonna stop. So
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Yeah, the first reparations presentation I saw was at MIT. It was the National Association for Reparations in America, I think was the organization. It was a
Well, that's great.
gave a presentation about it, and the auditorium was packed. And I remember her
Wow.
just laying that out, and I think it was around the time that Randall Robinson put out his book, What
Yeah,
America,
the debt.
yeah, the debt that America owes. And I still have that book to this day. And I'm right there with you. I'm a proponent of getting reparations.
Yes, right on. Right on. Well, I enjoyed talking to you today.
Yeah, likewise. And I'm gonna say thank you for listening. And if you're on social media, follow Boyce Watkins on Instagram at is it the real or the official?
The real Boyce Watkins.
The real Boyce Watkins, and put a B1 in the chat if you put a B1 on
B1, Black first. That's right.
that. All right, you guys, have a great one.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.